Amen. We're going to be in Acts chapter 3. One of the things God was reminding me of, there was, you know, my wife always says I always go back to my childhood. Well, I had a pretty decent childhood. I mean, it had some ups and downs. But by the time I was in fifth grade, I was actually taking pictures and developing my own black and white film. Wow. Matter of fact, in fifth grade, I bought my first 35mm camera from a pawn shop. I paid $35 for it from a pawn shop on Germantown Avenue, okay? This camera meant the world to me. And Kenneth Copeland had come to town one year and was at the Pennsylvania Hall, and Jerry Savelle was ministering about, you need to sew your stuff. And I'm sitting there in the service, and God said, you need to get that camera. And I'm thinking, no. I ain't giving up that. You can forget that. That ain't happening. So God says, you need to get that camera. I'm like, not my camera. A lot of stuff at home I could give. I mean, come on. Not my camera. But I go home, I get the camera, and I'm fighting the whole time. I mean, and see, I'm not driving, so I'm on public transit. That really take time. So I got plenty of time to do some thinning around here. And I'm doing a whole lot of thinning. I mean, I'm just thinking this thing over and over. You know, Lord, you got to change your mind. So I show up so the camera would fit. So now I got to get up, and I'm in the middle of the aisle. So I got to get up now, and I got to pass by everybody. Instead of me being able, now I got my, and I'm trying to catch up with the usher, and I catch up with him. And I give him my camera. I tell him, put it in the offering. And I go sit down. I go back to my seat. Well, when I look, I didn't steal it because I handed it to him, and I receive it, and I wanted to accept it as a gift from me, but God, I still expect you to honor the seed that I've sown. Because that's my camera. So okay, now I let go of my camera, and like I said, see, I ain't like, well, I'm not like some of y'all, because you know y'all do stuff and y'all just real strong and confident and everything, and real to see a return. Now let me just say something to you about the Lord. Okay, he does tell us to put him in remembrance, but don't accuse him of not doing something. Now, you can put him in remembrance that he promised to do a thing, but don't go accusing him of not doing something. Because you might not like how he responds. Now I'm embarrassed. And I said, you got a point there. You're right. I didn't think about that. He said, you ain't had no money. No, I ain't had no money. And so what you think? I said, I guess it came from you, Lord. I'm sorry. It came from you. I recognize that now. Thank you very much. I won't bring this up again. But let me tell you what he did a few years after that. And see, a lot of times we be believing God for the return, but we forget to believe for the return of the seed. Yes. Wow. Oh, y'all ain't. And he was just reminding me, when the last time you start believing me for return on seed? Oh, okay. Now, y'all got Acts chapter 3. I don't know who that was for, but if you need it, take it. Hallelujah. All right, verse chapter 3, verse 1. Now, birth defect is had since child. Okay, so he grew up with this condition, okay? And he's seated at the gate called Beautiful. Now, we talked about this gate. We talked about the fact that it was 75 feet high. It was 60 feet wide. It was the most ornate and expensive gate surrounding the temple. And the fact that think about the contrast. Here this guy is sitting by this ornate gate, and yet he is the epitome of poverty that really hit home with me this week. She said, real poverty is not having options. If you have no options, that is when you are truly poor. Think about that. I mean, there are people who have no options. See, they don't have an option of what they're going to eat. They don't have an option of where they're going to live or how they're going to live. They don't have, even when how he spent his time, his family dragging him out there. and sitting them down there by the gate. This is his job. Handicapped, he still got a job. Because you can't live for free. So he got to generate some money to help with his upkeep. And the thing I want y'all to understand is, you do realize they could not have taken him there in the morning and left him there all and stuff. That is so obvious. Here's the thing. He's on the outside of the gate, but worship is taking on in the other side of the gate. He's sitting outside next to luxury, but that ain't where the worship is. And think about all the folks who are so caught up in having their bling and all of their stuff, but they don't worship God. Because worship is beyond the bling. Oh, y'all ain't. Come on now. And you can't enter in past the gate until you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He could not walk. Sinners can't walk upright before God. Their nature won't allow them to. Oh, come on now. Laymen don't even know it. See, every time you see somebody that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're seeing somebody who's lame. And they don't even realize it. They can't walk and don't even realize until I could stand. Low became the norm. And here this young man, low done become the norm for him. He used to being picked up and transported from place to place. He don't even get to decide when the folks show up. Ain't nothing worse than having to wait for somebody to come and get you. But you ain't got no choice, because if they don't come and get you, you ain't got. And we can't get caught up in the fact that we can enter in, that we ignore those that can't. That's why Jesus said, go into the hedges and highways and compel them. Oh, come on. Don't. And see, and the thing of it is I don't know why we expect sinners not to act like they crippled. You see sinners do stuff and you act, I can't believe they did that. Why not? You can't, listen, they got satisfied with alcohol, but they're trying to get satisfied. They're begging for satisfaction. But they, like the song said, but I can't get no satisfaction. Oh. The problem is they're looking in all the wrong places. And the folks who got satisfaction won't tell them. See, you can't, you got to understand, if you are born again, you got a God-shaped void in your life. And you can't fill it with alcohol. You can't fill it with promiscuity. You can't fill it with all kinds of crazy things the world are on. He only knows to ask for money. Because if I got enough money, that's going to solve all my problems. But you're still going to be crippled. You can hit the lottery. You're just going to be a rich cripple. Oh, come on now. Because you can't pay your way out of your birth defect. And so Peter and John, they come across this young man and they say, listen, look on us. Our dilemma. See, the problem is the lame guy don't know what his problem is. He think his problem is a money problem. And that's why I get upset with Christians when we think our real problem is a money problem. You ain't never had a money problem. You had a trust in God problem. But here this guy think his problem is money. That ain't his problem. His problem is he got a birth defect. And money ain't going for us. You go broke curing people. Because they don't come back. But they got some treatments. They'll treat you to death. They got treatments for everything. Oh, we can treat you for it. And see, they even, see, one thing I can give, I know people may have the best of intentions. Just because they didn't have no money with them that day don't mean they was broke. Did you understand what I said to you? How many of y'all ever left the house and ain't had no money with you? Don't mean you ain't had no money. It just wasn't with you. Amen? See, and then, and you, his ones, his fives, his tens, and his 20s, and larger bills and anything, he's putting it in different pockets. He made sure the ones and the fives is up in the front. And I said, well, what in the world are you doing that for? He said, because in case I'm delirious when they take the offering, I don't want to reach in my pocket and get too much. He was honest. He said, because, you know, in case I'm delirious when they take the offering. And he meant it. In case I'm delirious when they take the offering, I don't want to reach in my pocket, you know, get over. He was real specific about that. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can I take a little pastoral privilege for a minute? You do understand that Jesus means Jehovah saves. Christ means the anointed one or the Messiah. Well, did you know that Nazareth means restoration or recovery? Come on. But I noticed that before Peter grabbed this guy, he wanted to make a clear understanding of by what authority he was doing this thing. See, not just by Jesus, but by Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed of God. Oh, come on. From Nazareth. You know, no good thing cometh out of Nazareth. He tells him to rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, Luke identifies four important things here I want to touch on. First of all, there's no mention that he required weeks of physical therapy. Since he never had walked, how did he learn to walk? Y'all ain't getting it. See, because you got to understand, his condition was not just physical. It was mental. He didn't know how to think walk. You stop thinking handicap. You stop thinking birth defect. But what we have here is a multitude of miracles that happen simultaneously. See, not only did his ankle bones and feet receive strength, there had to be a mental transformation that took place, because he had to think, I could stand. Come on now. That's why, you know, I get in trouble sometimes because I say stuff and I'm not supposed to say stuff certain ways. But you know, okay, I won't talk about y'all. I'm gonna talk about something I heard somebody say about somebody else. One of the owners of one of the NFL football teams was complaining about his black athletes, because God said poor is. But what we said poor, see, we've defined ourselves as being poor because we keep looking at rich people. And our minds have not been renewed to our situation. And one of the problems, like I said, you know, that's one of the problems America got. We compare our poor with our rich. We don't compare our poor. Not recognizing all the things that God has done. I'm not saying you don't need more stuff. I'm just saying you need to take inventory of the stuff God has already blessed you with. Because there's something about being grateful about what you already have that places you in the proper mindset to get more. I love when I go to the market and I see these women pull out these books, these little folders, with all these coupons in there. These are the people who using their own money. And they got coupons. Because why should I spend $1.89 when I got a dollar off coupon? That means I get the dollar to do something else with. You know, my kids used to ask my wife, well, what's for dinner? And she'd tell them the same thing, whatever was on sale. But that was the answer. What's for dinner was what was on sale. We ain't had no lobster tails and all, because we was using our money. Wasn't going out there buying snow crab legs and all that kind of stuff. No. We was growing up, my father loved the barbecue. As a kid, you wasn't putting half a slab of rib on your plate. If you got a bone, they give you a piece of chicken and it wasn't going to be the breast either. And you ain't get it twisted. I ain't have a chicken breast till I could buy one. I knew chicken had breasts. I watched them. Because that wasn't unemployed people food. Because not only did this guy, listen, Peter grabs him by the hand. The man jumps up, starts leaping, walks, and the first thing he wants to do is go in the temple and start worshiping. See, that's why we need to set the captives free. See, because when somebody been truly free, the first thing they want to do is get past that gate. They want to go on the other side of the gate. Okay? Folks don't walk past. Everybody don't walk past. Church folk don't walk past. Okay? Jesus was even in the neighborhood a couple times. Okay? Here this guy is sitting here. But think about it. Debating with him would not have got him on the other side of that gate. Another issue that comes up in this passage of scripture, and that's the authority to heal. See, we must observe that Peter apparently had something in his possession that he could use at will. Y'all ain't. All right. The thing that Peter had and could give away was he did use to do his miracles. In other words, Jesus didn't even take credit for the healing his own self. Healing, Jesus did not say that healing was inherent in his nature. He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh. Now later, Paul talks about the gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Stand in the office of the evangelist to evangelize. And people will get saved just because you share in Jesus. And people will get healed just because you let, because these signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, come on, y'all. The thing I want you to understand is that Peter was fully aware of his relationship with Christ. That I am declaring and commanding you to stand up and walk. And here's the thing I like about what Peter did. Peter just didn't talk it. He reached out and grabbed a man. See, there's some folks you ain't going to be able to talk them into their miracle. You're going to have to grab them by the hand and help them walk into their miracle. You're going to have to pull them into their miracle. See, we don't mind doing long distance negative. It's inevitable, but what if he get up? What if I pull him and he keep on going? What if he don't just get up, he start leaping? I heard Charles Capps say something one time I never forgot. He said, if you're going to doubt anything, doubt your doubts. I choose to doubt my doubts. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, the authority here. But then he deals with another issue here that comes up. And it's sad because I was I have a zillion commentaries. And I'm amazed at how many of these guys said, well, obviously the man had to have faith. If faith ain't had nothing to do with it. He didn't have a chance to have faith in this. He was too busy being disappointed over the fact that silver and gold none stuff. What do you mean you ain't got no money? He was on his feet before he got over the fact he ain't had no money. Wait a minute. Oh, the sick person didn't have faith. Come on. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 27 through 31, we have two blind men who came to Jesus, and he said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They had faith. Come on. And they got healed. He said, "According to your faith, let it be done unto you," in verse 29. All right? Both of them were healed, and their personal faith played an important role. But then you also had a person who was ministering having the faith for healing, as in Peter's case. Peter is the agency of belief in this case, who had the faith. So there's three agencies involved in the faith process. And listen, so in other words, you don't have to have faith for you to get healed, and somebody else's faith can get you healed. And your faith can get somebody, because I know who you are. But now let's talk about the other element that Luke brings in here, and I'm gonna finish up with this because my time is running out, and that's the timing. See, this guy been sitting here all along. It's impact. Oh, y'all ain't. See, God likes to get bigger bang for the buck. That's why there ain't a whole lot of closet healings. Because God want to do stuff in a way that will bring other people to. Because think about this. See, everybody knew this boy been crippled all his life. So when they saw him, they knew this was not no case of somebody's disease in remission. They know this was not the fact that he went and took some right herbs and it straightened out his legs. Because this boy is leaping and walking. And he ain't never done neither. And I've watched my grandbabies when they learn how to walk. And the cripple come in leaping and walking and leaping and walking and leaping. That's going to mess up the prayer meeting. See, there's sometimes where out of order is in order. You got to rearrange the order because God is doing something and we got to break from the schedule. We may not get out at 12 today because somebody came in leaping and walking, and we until, even though they got a schedule to say we're going to arrive at this time, because a higher authority has showed up, your schedule gets put on hold to allow the higher authority to do what it needs to do. And then once Air Force One takes back off, you can resume your schedule. Anytime God shows up, throw out the program. A higher authority has shown. I'm going to close on this. See, some of y'all waiting for a miracle. And you wonder where it is. Let me tell you something. When the time comes, you can't stop it. See, God, listen. There's a whole lot of stuff. You think it was a coincidence that it happened at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the time when the priest was in there offering up incense? Come on. It was a time. You know, under the law, if you had certain physical ailments, you could not bring an offering to God. You had to be, that's why, remember when Jesus cleansed the lepers? He told them, go show yourself to the priest. Because see, now you can worship. Now you can offer sacrifices. Come on. See, now that thing done been taken care of. Or y'all ain't feeling me. See, she doesn't deserve worship. The problem is you can't worship through your issue. See, your impediment becomes an impediment to your being able to worship God. Oh, come on. All right. And God wants us to be in a position and wants people to be in a position where they can worship him because he has made them whole. Yes. Yes. And us to set the captives free. He has designed us to bring people. Think about this. What happened is the guy goes in with the folks to set him free. I'm going to really mess y'all. He didn't go to his cousin's church.